Hello, my name is Mike Arrigo, and this is my third podcast on demonstrating the Macintosh and VoiceOver, which is the built-in screen reader for the Macintosh. First off, before we get started, I'd like to say if you're listening to this and you haven't listened to my first two podcasts yet on Blind Cool Tech regarding the Macintosh and using VoiceOver, you'll probably want to do that first before listening to this one, because I will be building somewhat on what I've already gone through on the first two, and assuming that that you have listened to those. So you can find those if you keep going farther down in the list of podcasts on the site. You should find them. So you may want to do that first. Anyway, that having been said, thank you so much to everyone who has taken the time to listen to these and sent me email regarding how much they've enjoyed them. And some people have even said they've decided to purchase a Macintosh because of the information I've provided and the demonstrations that I've given. And that's great. That's great. You know, certainly, I'm glad I could help you make your decision, and I hope that for those of you that have purchased Macs after listening to these, that you have found it productive and useful. I think again, it's excellent that Apple has built a full-fledged screen reader into their operating system, and they should be commended for that. Now we just have to hope they'll do the same for their iPods and their iPhones. Well, the iPhone actually has a touch screen, so we'd have to use an external keyboard for that. But hopefully Apple will develop a way to make their other devices as accessible as the Macintosh is. So thanks again to all the emails, and that's partly what this podcast is going to be about. I'm going to answer some of the emails that people have sent me with questions, as well as show you some other things about VoiceOver. Here's what I plan on covering in this podcast, and we might add some other miscellaneous things also. First off, I will show you how you can boot from the Mac OS DVD in case you ever get into a situation where your computer won't boot for some reason, and you need to reinstall or run the disk utility to check your disk, that type of thing. I also want to show you something in the email program that I found that makes moving through messages a lot quicker, where you can just read just the subject of each message as you move down, because a lot of times that's probably what you're most interested in determining whether you want to listen to a message or not, especially if you're on several email lists. I also had an email from somebody wondering what kind of customization is available in VoiceOver as far as settings you can change. So we'll go through the VoiceOver control panel, and I'll show you the different options that are available and describe those for you. And then I want to show you a couple of things on the internet, a couple of powerful features. And along the way, I did have an email for someone asking, how does VoiceOver work with eBay, with searching for items and that kind of thing? So I will I'll show you that. So that's kind of what we're going to cover. And along the way, I will put in some other comments and answer some other emails as we go along here. So that having been said, sit back, relax, and enjoy. Okay, I am sitting in front of my Mac Mini. I don't have it fired up at the moment because the first thing I want to show you is how you can actually boot up off of the Mac OS 10.5 DVD in case your system doesn't boot from the hard drive for some reason. Now, that could happen for any number of reasons. Although you'll find that the way the Mac is designed, it's not as likely to happen. You're not as likely to get into that situation as you will be with a PC, because the Mac, based on its operating system, it's based on Unix, actually. That's the underlying architecture of it. It's just not susceptible to all the viruses and spyware and things that Windows is. and there's really no need to defragment your hard drive, and it doesn't have a registry, you know, like Windows does. So the chance of you getting into a situation like that is much less likely, but it could still happen. With any computer device, it's important to keep backups, and there's always the chance that something could happen. And really, when you get down to it, if your computer won't boot, if it's a PC, you run into several hurdles. The first one is to even get the computer to boot from the CD drive. Depending on how your system's configured, you may have to go into your BIOS setup and reconfigure that, which, of course, that does not talk because there's no operating system loaded. So usually you have to get sighted help to do that. Some of them may offer a function key to do that, but usually what you're going to have to do is go into the BIOS to do that. As a side note, what I'd suggest you do there, and this is how I have mine set, the boot order, the floppy drive first. That way you can boot off of a DOS disk if you should need to. Or you could also make that a bootable CD, I guess. But the order that I've got my PCs set is, I do have a couple of PCs still actually that I do use from time to time, although that is starting to be less and less. But floppy drive first, then the CD drive, and then the hard drive. And the reason why that is because then you can insert a bootable CD and it will boot from that, usually without having to change the BIOS on a PC. And then, of course, if no bootable CD or floppy is there, then it just boots off of the hard drive, which will usually be what you want. But unless it's set that way, you'll have to get sighted help to change the boot order. And then, after that, unless you boot to a DOS prompt on a PC and are able to do things there, which if your drive is formatted as NTFS, that won't do you any good. You won't be able to access it, which is why I prefer to format my drives on a PC as a FAT32 for that reason, in case I would need to get into DOS and, check some things. You don't get some of the permissions settings doing it that way that you get with NTFS, but I myself really have no use for those. Other than that, if you use the recovery console in Windows or anything like that, you have no speech. And even with the recovery CDs that a lot of computers get, the ones you buy like from HP and Dell and those things, which admittedly I'm really not a fan of those. I do wish that all computers would come with a native Windows CD, but that's just my opinion. A lot of those, too, you don't really have speech. And when you reinstall the operating system, a lot of times computers come with a lot of extra garbage, really, that in Windows that you have to uninstall, and that's one reason why some of the computers are so inexpensive. Part of that is because these people pay to have stuff installed on their computer. The computers that you buy, trialware and that type of thing. Again, you have no speech output for any of those things. Well, the Macintosh solves all of those problems. You don't have to go into a BIOS setup to get the computer to boot from the CD or DVD drive, because the Mac really has no CMOS setup, per se. And so that's not really an issue. There's a way you can do that without sight. And the best part about it is, when you boot off of the DVD, you are actually booting the operating system completely. It doesn't take you to the desktop or the Finder, but you are still in the operating system and hence can actually run VoiceOver. Therefore, the installer and the disk utility and those kind of things that you might need to run are fully accessible, not only with speech, but with a Braille display. I don't use a Braille display, but I am told it does work. So that's a first of its kind, as far as I know, and I'm going to show you that here in just a minute. As far as I know, this is one of the only operating systems where you have that option. I believe with Linux, when you install that, there are talking installers also now that will talk you through it. and you can install that without sighted help. But this is really something I wish Windows would add. It's understandable why it might have a problem because there's so many different, you know, sound devices and that type of thing. But I think that you know, there's no excuse for not having that if the drivers for the sound card are on the CD or DVD for Windows, or if you have like a USB headset or something like that that you can plug in. To not provide a talking install for that, or, you know, speech access to the recovery console and that kind of thing, I just find is ridiculous. you know, the Mac, the Apple folks have proven that that kind of thing can be done, so I don't see why it can't in Windows. Of course, if you want to install Windows without sighted help, you have to make a usually an answer file, and even then you have to hope that it goes through, you know, the automated install. You have to hope that it goes correctly and doesn't error out any place, because you won't be able to see the message. So that having been said, if your computer won't boot for some reason, what do you do? Well, what we can do is take the Mac OS 10.5 Leopard DVD, which I've got right here, and I'm going to, well, it won't actually suck the disk into the drive because the Mac is not powered up at this point. But I'm going to go ahead and take the DVD, and I'm going to put it into the drive as far as it'll go, like that. Now, what I will do here is press the power button on the Mac, and then to get the Macintosh to boot off of the optical drive, there's no BIOS setup to work with. You simply hold the C key down on the keyboard until it starts to boot, and that will then boot off of the DVD. So no BIOS to change or nothing like that. So what I'm going to do here is press the power button, and then it just sucked in the disk, and you probably heard that startup sound there. I'm holding the C on the keyboard down now, and it is starting to initialize. The drive has just spun up, and I'll go ahead and release the C key now, because it is booting, and it's now booting off of the DVD drive. So no BIOS setup to worry about or anything like that. Okay, this is going to take a minute to boot up. So what I will do is pause the recording. You won't miss anything. It's just spinning the DVD, whirring away here as it boots. And once that has stopped, I will pick up the recording again and show you what we do next to make this accessible. Okay, so I'm going to pause the recording and pick it up once it's done booting. Okay, we're back on the recording here. The DVD drive has stopped whirring, and I am now, I assume, in the Mac OS installer. So nothing has been spoken or anything like that, because it's just booted up into the installer. So what we can do here now is just press Command F5, hold the Command key down and press F5, and that will actually turn on VoiceOver from the DVD. Now, you'll remember for the last two podcasts, I've used the Alex voice, which is probably the highest quality voice that comes with the Mac. But for this, it only uses... there's only one voice that's really provided that runs from the DVD, and that's Fred, which it's not as good as Alex, but it is understandable. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go ahead and press Command F5, and that will cause the DVD drive to whir a little bit more. And in a moment, we should have a speech here. Let's see what we get.
VoiceOver on. Language chooser. Window button.
Okay. So, what we've got here now, it's we're in the language chooser, and it's just asking what language we want to use for the, you know, for that. And we're just sitting on a button.
Button has keyboard focus.
Which all we can do is just press space on that.
Language chooser, table 1, row selected. Use English for the main language. Language chooser has new window.
Okay, so now it's asking the language for the language. Obviously, I'm not going to reinstall my Mac operating system here, but I will go ahead and choose that the continue option here, so you can see how a couple of the dialogues actually read in the installer. So at this point, we'll just tab to continue.
Continue button.
And you may notice a couple of sound effects there. VoiceOver does have sound effects that it can do also to indicate different things. I've got that disabled normally, but some people may want to use them, but on the DVD it does use them. And I'll show you that when we look at what's in the VoiceOver control panel for your different settings. So for now, let's just go ahead and... let's see, I think I'm sitting on continue. Let's see.
Language chooser, table one, continue button.
That's what I want to continue, so I'm just going to press space on that.
Menu bar. Mac OS X installer. Window. Mac OS X Leopard installer. To install the additional applications that came with your computer, click continue and follow the on-screen instructions. To quit, choose Quit Installer from the installer menu and click Startup Disk. Text has keyboard focus.
And I'll go through one more window here, because it'll ask what we want to do.
Go back button. Continue button.
Actually, I don't. Let's see.
Mac OS X Leopard installer. To install the additional applications that came with your computer, click continue and follow the on-screen instructions. To quit, choose Quit Installer from the installer menu and click Startup Disk. Text.
Okay, well, what I want to do here... Let me hit continue and see what it gives us.
Go back, continue button. Mac OS interact with dialogue for window. To continue installing the software, you must agree to the terms of the software license agreement.
Okay. Well.
English. Save button. Disagree button. Agree button. English. Pop-up button.
Okay. I'm gonna close this because I don't really want to go any farther with the installer because there are a couple other things I want to show you. That we can do with booting from the CD. So, what I'm going to do here, let me see if I can get to the menu bar.
Menu bar, Apple, Mac OS X installer, file.
Yeah, so there's a couple other utilities we can run here from this bootable DVD, particularly under utilities. Let me show you that.
Edit, utilities.
The way that for those first few dialog boxes of the Mac installer spoke, though, that'll work through the entire process. So again, if you need to reinstall your operating system, it is totally accessible. Now, let's say maybe your disk is having a problem, and you need to check your disk. Well, there's something under utilities for that, so we're sitting on utilities now, so let me just open that.
Utilities menu. Restore system from backup network utility ellipsis. System Profiler, ellipsis, Terminal, ellipsis, Disk Utility, ellipsis.
Let's just go in there. And it's loading now from the DVD.
Disk Utility. Disk Utility. Window, Disk Utility, Select Disks, Table has keyboard focus.
Okay. So let's just read around this window.
Toolbar. Select disks table. Vertical select disks table. Interact with select disks table on expanded. 111.8 GB Hitachi HTS541612J9SA00Media. 111.8 GB Hitachi 8.
Okay. That's the hard drive, obviously.
Macintosh HD expanded. Zero items enclosed. Level 1.
Okay, so that's the Macintosh HD, then that's the volume. Now we should be able to tab through here.
First aid, select tab 1 of 4. Show details, check checkbox, results, table, no verify disk permissions button. Verify disk button. Repair disk permissions button. Repair disk button. Verify button. Info button. Burn button.
So there's a bunch of options here that we could do. We could run if we needed to check the disk, and if it wasn't booting, to have it check the disk. And again, it's totally accessible, you know, booting from the DVD. So I just wanted to show you that. Okay. Let's get out of the disk utility. Press Command Q here to take us out of here.
Mac OS X installer, window, angle.
Command Q, of course, is the quit command. All right, let's press Command Q again here to quit the installer.
Quit Mac OS X installer. English. Save button. Disagree button.
Now, I want to get out of this, so let's see. Maybe I have to do a...
Save.
Well, if I disagree, I'm sure it'll take us out.
Closing dialog. Mac OS X Leopard installer. Go back button. Continue button.
Now, I think I can do a Command Q...
Mac OS X Leopard installer.
I think I can do a Command Q now.
Button.
Let's see.
Quit Mac. Interact with dialog. Alert. Are you sure you want to quit the Mac OS X installer? If you need to quit, click Startup Disk to select a startup disk for your computer.
Okay, so let's see what our options are here.
Startup Disk button. Don't quit button. Restart button.
That's what I need. Just hitting space on restart will do the trick.
Load language.
Okay. Now what it will do is it'll restart, and I won't hold the C key down this time, and so it'll go ahead and start up from the hard drive like it usually does. But I just wanted to show you that booting from the DVD, it is accessible, and if you need to ever reinstall your operating system, it is accessible. There's the startup sound, and it's now restarting. And once that's done, Alex should be back with us again. Here we go. It's now grinding the hard drive quite a bit. And I just pressed F12 so it would eject the DVD out of there. Go ahead and put that away. And the hard drive is grinding away. And in just a moment, this should be rebooted, and we should find ourselves in familiar territory, especially if you've listened to the first two podcasts that I've done. It's still finishing the reboot. Okay, I believe we are in business. Let me just... arrow around here, see what we've got.
Macintosh HD selected.
Okay.
Has keyboard focus.
There we go. Macintosh HD has the keyboard focus, and we are all set. We're rebooted from the hard drive, and we are set to go. All right, let me slow the speech down just a little bit for you in case you find that a little bit too fast.
Pitch 45%. Volume 100%. Intonation rate 40%. 26%.
There we go. Okay. I did get an email from one person asking what kind of customization can you do with VoiceOver, as far as what parameters can you change. So what I thought I would do is take you through the VoiceOver utility, as it's called. It's really like the VoiceOver control panel, basically, and show you all of the settings that you can change and kind of provide some explanations along the way. A lot of them are self-explanatory, but there are some that do warrant a bit of explanation. So to open the VoiceOver utility from any place, again, if you remember from the first two podcasts, you hold the control and the option keys down when you're going to do a VoiceOver command. Of course, there are other ways around that. There is an option to lock those keys so you don't have to hold those keys down if you're going to be doing a bunch of navigation. And as we'll see, there's a feature that I've kind of been playing with recently that I'm really liking, where you can actually enable a feature that'll use the numeric keypad for VoiceOver commands, which makes things easier. But for now, let's go ahead and open the VoiceOver utility. And that's done again. We press Control-Option, hold those keys down, and press F8. So I'm going to do that now.
Opening VoiceOver utility. VoiceOver utility. Window. VoiceOver utility. Utility categories. Table. Has keyboard focus.
Okay. So what it said there was table. It has keyboard focus. We're in the VoiceOver utility. Now, what this is, it's a table similar to what you'd have in the Finder with your folders, assuming you view them by list. It kind of puts them in a table with all the different items. So we can just arrow up and down through this, and we'll start with the first category.
Row 2, row 1, general, image, general.
Okay, so general is where we're at. Now, we could really easily tab through this and get to the items, but I'm going to go ahead and use the VoiceOver cursor. And you hold the Control-Option keys and you press the right arrow key in this case, because that way any descriptive text that's within the window will also be read as we go along here. And that way you can really see how this is laid out. So we're in the general category. Let's just go ahead and move to the right here.
Login greeting. Login greeting. Edit text.
Okay. Login greeting. What that is, you can have a prompt spoken when the computer first starts up, or when VoiceOver first starts, and you can enter whatever you want there. I don't have anything in there in mind at the moment, so it won't say anything. The default is Welcome to Macintosh. VoiceOver is running. But you can enter whatever you want there, or you can just leave it blank. And mine is blank at the moment, so it doesn't really say anything when it starts up. But you can certainly enter something if you wish. All right, let's continue here.
When portable preferences are detected, ask before using them, pop-up button.
Okay. Portable preferences, what this is, let's say maybe you've got several Macintoshes that you work with, and you don't want to... you obviously don't want to go around on each one and set up all these preferences, you know, the rate, the pitch, the verbosity, that type of thing. Well, what you can do here is you can have this save the preferences file to external media, such as a flash drive or something like that, and then when you connect that to the Macintosh that you're using, you can have a VoiceOver use those preferences from your flash drive, which is kind of a nice feature. So you don't have to customize everything, and everything will be to your, the way you set. So the options here.
Help button. Ask before using them. Pop-up button.
There we go. Okay. Ask before using them is what I have mine set to, but I'll show you the other choices if we press the space bar on that.
Menu checkmark. Ask before using them. Do nothing. Use them. Checkmark. Ask before using them.
Okay.
Ask so you before can say, using them. Pop-up button.
You can do, ask before using them, which is what I've got mine set to, or do nothing, which means ignore them, basically, or automatically use them and don't ask. Now, there's a help button here. You notice it said a minute ago,
help button.
This might be a good time for me to show you. I haven't shown you this yet, the Macintosh help. It is context sensitive, and for those who are familiar with Windows Help, this will be vaguely familiar to you. It's a HTML content, that's what VoiceOver calls it, and it has links and that type of thing. I'll go ahead and just press this and select this Help button so you can kind of see how the Macintosh Help works. And what it'll do is it'll open a new window to read that with. So I'll go ahead and do that now just so you can see how this works.
Press Help button. Help Viewer HTML content.
Okay, it says Help Viewer HTML content. So what we'll do is interact with that HTML content. Interacting, that is something that a lot of people do find confusing. I'll give you a quick explanation now, but I will show you that in detail, because that seems to be the biggest thing that confuses people that may have used Windows before with using VoiceOver. So I will do a detailed explanation of that as soon as we finish with the VoiceOver control panel. I do want to show you that. But basically, in a nutshell, interacting means to zoom in or to focus on a certain part of the screen. As you move around the screen, VoiceOver, it starts out in a window just giving you the items, and then to look at an item more, you interact with it. And in this case, what we'll do is we'll interact with the HTML content. And to do that, we do Control Option Shift down arrow.
Interact with HTML content, link, home.
Okay, now we can just read this an item at a time, moving with the Control Option right arrow key.
Link, index, VoiceOver icon, image, heading level 1, using the general category in VoiceOver utility.
And let's go ahead and read this so you can see kind of how the help is laid out. And there's help for all the different Macintosh functions too, including the Mac operating system itself. And this is how it will, this is how it'll appear to you.
Use the general category in VoiceOver utility to specify a login, greeting, and settings related to portable preferences. Use this to login greeting. Enter the text you want VoiceOver to speak when you start VoiceOver. When portable preferences are detected, specify what you want VoiceOver to do when it detects a portable preferences file. Do nothing. VoiceOver does not ask or try to use portable preferences. Ask. VoiceOver asks if you want to use the preferences. Use them. VoiceOver uses the preferences without asking for your confirmation. Heading level 3. Related topics. Link. Using portable preferences on other computers. Link. Using portable preferences.
Okay, so we're at the bottom. So that's kind of how the help works. We'll just do Command W to close this window.
VoiceOver utility, window, VoiceOver utility, help button.
Okay, so that's the items in the general category of the VoiceOver control panel. I'll use the tab key in this case to go back to that table of categories.
Utility categories, table 1, row selected, row 1, general, image, general.
Okay, let's arrow down.
Row 2. Verbosity, image, verbosity.
Okay, so now we're on the verbosity category. So let's see what's in here. Again, I'll use the VoiceOver cursor to read the window now. And of course, you can use the VoiceOver cursor to do things, and Tab and Shift Tab interchangeably. Just like in Windows, you can use your mouse cursor, and the built-in keyboard commands interchangeably. The same thing applies on the Mac. All right, let's start at the top of the window and let's see what we've got.
Text selected tab 1 of 2.
Okay, there's two tabs in this category. Text is the first tab, or property sheet, as Windows screen readers sometimes call them.
Announcements tab 2 of 2.
An announcement. So you notice it said
text selected tab 1 of 2.
So it said selected tab, so we're on the text tab currently.
Announcements, so tab 2 of 2.
Let's see what we've got here.
Punctuation. None. Punctuation. Pop-up button.
Okay, that's pretty self-explanatory. Is that what punctuation you want a VoiceOver to read? I've got mine set to none. And that's usually the way I prefer to keep it, but certainly you can change that to suit how you prefer.
Repeated punctuation.
Repeated punctuation. Okay, what that does.
First three times. Repeated punctuation. Pop-up button.
That's for, like, if you have a line of punctuation, like asterisks or something like that, you can set what the repeated or how much punctuation is read, and I'll show you the choices.
Menu checkmark, first four times, first five times, always spoken, spoken with count, first two times, checkmark, first three times.
Okay, first three times is how I have mine set.
First three times, repeated punctuation, okay. Pop-up button.
All right, let's keep going.
While typing speak. Characters while typing speak, pop-up button.
Okay, while typing, you can set it to speak characters.
Menu checkmark. Words. Characters and words. Nothing. Checkmark. Characters.
And mine is set for characters.
Characters while typing.
And I'll leave it like that. But those of you that have used any kind of screen reader before, of course, you're probably fairly familiar with that.
When text attributes change, do nothing. When text attributes change, pop-up button.
Okay, that's for text attributes, and you can set it what to do there. I've got mine set to do nothing, but your choices are...
Menu checkmark, do nothing, play tone, speak attributes, checkmark, do nothing, do nothing. When text attributes...
So that might be good if you're proofreading a document or something like that. You could change that. And there is a way to set it to on the fly. You can change that. I showed you that... I believe it was in the first podcast when we demonstrated a text edit. So you can change it on the fly also, but if you want to change it permanently, this is where you would do that.
When encountering the misspelled word, speak attributes. When encountering the misspelled word, pop-up button.
Okay, when encountering a misspelled word, the cool thing is the Mac OS has the ability to spell check pretty much anything in any edit box. And VoiceOver works with that, so it's not, you know, there's no need to configure it for each word processor or anything like that. It just as a lot of things with the Mac, it just works. And but here's the choices of how to deal with a misspelled word. I'll show you those.
Menu check, do nothing, play tone, check mark, speak attributes.
Speak attributes, and I'll leave it at that.
Speak attributes, when encounter.
But those are the choices there.
When encountering a link.
Okay, when encountering a link.
Speak link. When encountering a link, pop-up button.
Speak link, and that's what I have mine set to, but again, your choices are...
Menu, change pitch, play tone, do nothing, check mark, speak link.
So those are the choices there, and I'll leave it as it is.
Speak link. When encountering a... Read numbers as words. Read numbers as pop-up button.
Read numbers as words, that's how I have mine set. Again, your choices are...
Menu check, digits, check mark, words, digits.
Just digits or...
Words. Read number.
So that's pretty simple.
When reading a capital letter, change pitch. When reading a capital letter, pop-up button.
Okay, for capitals, change the pitch, that's how mine is set.
Menu play tone, speak cap, do nothing, check mark. Change pitch.
Okay, so those are the choices for dealing with capitals.
Change pitch. When reading a capital letter. When deleting text.
When deleting text, okay.
Do nothing. When deleting text, pop-up button.
Okay, now that, well, do nothing. Well, let me show you the choices first.
Menu checkmark. Change pitch. Play tone. Speak. Checkmark. Do nothing.
Okay.
Do nothing. When deleting...
What that relates to is saying text, the word deleted or something like that. When you press the backspace key, it does speak the character regardless. But this is just a setting whether it will play a tone or actually say the word deleted or something like that.
Words are separated by punctuation and white space. Words are separated by... Pop-up button.
Okay, that's to set what separates a word. You can set it for either just space or punctuation in space, and usually punctuation in space would be what you would want to leave that set to.
Help button.
Okay, we're down on the help back on the help. Okay, now this category, remember, has two different tabs to it. So let's press, I'll use the tab key here now.
Utility category is text, selected tab 1 of 2.
Okay, let's arrow to the right.
Announcements, tab 2 of 2.
And press the space bar there.
Announcements, selected tab 2 of 2.
With the Mac, when you arrow to a new tab, you do press the space bar to select it. Okay, let's read through this tab now. We're still on we're still on the
utility categories. Table 1 row selected. Row 2 verbosity image.
We're still on the verbosity.
Verbosity
tab.
Announcements.
So we're just in a different
selected
tab now.
2 of 2.
Okay, here's what we got on this tab.
Announced when mouse cursor enters a window, unchecked checkbox.
Okay, that's pretty self-explanatory. If the mouse enters a window, it will tell you.
Announced when a modifier key is pressed, unchecked checkbox.
Okay, what that is like command, option, control. If you check this option, VoiceOver will actually say the appropriate key, you know, option, control, whenever you press those keys. I remember I got an email, one email asking me that, if VoiceOver can do that. So the answer is yes, it does. I don't have it checked because I don't need that much speech, but it's here if you want it.
Announced when the caps lock key is pressed, checked checkbox.
Okay, I do have that checked. I do like to know when I have the caps on, caps lock. And VoiceOver will indicate that as such.
Caps lock on, caps lock off.
So that's kind of how that works, but you can uncheck that if you don't want that.
Speak header when navigating across a table row, checked checkbox.
Okay, speak header. What that is the title of each header. A good example of that might be in the email program when it'll say, like, from so-and-so, subject, and then whatever the subject is, date, and then it says the date. Without this, if you uncheck this, it wouldn't say, like, the from subject date, that type of thing. It would just read you the current row. It would say the person's name and then what the subject was without saying the from and subject and that type of thing. But I'm going to show you actually a way that you can really cruise through your email messages really fast in a little bit here. And so usually you can leave this checked, but you can turn it off too if you don't like all that extra verbiage.
Automatically speak text in dialog boxes, checked checkbox.
That's pretty self-explanatory. Automatically speak text in dialog boxes. I prefer to keep that checked. Whenever a dialog pops up, it does read. So that's a good thing usually to keep checked.
Speak when status text changes, checked checkbox.
Okay, speak when status text changes. I'm not exactly sure what constitutes static or status text. I'm thinking it might have to do with like when something's busy or it's ready or just status messages. So I just go ahead and leave it checked. But I'm not exactly sure what does constitute that.
Speak text under mouse after delay, unchecked checkbox.
Okay, what that is, really I have it unchecked because I really don't use the mouse, but if you use the mouse, if you want to try to use the real mouse, you can have VoiceOver speak what the mouse moves to. And this just enables that feature and sets the delay of how long it will wait once the mouse is on some text before it reads it.
20% speak text under mouse after delay, horizontal slider.
And that slider is how long of a delay should there be before that text under the mouse is spoken.
Short. Long.
Okay, that's just part of that slider again.
Help button.
Okay, now we're down to help, so that's the end of that category of VoiceOver settings. Let's go back to the list of categories.
20% help, utility categories, table 1 row selected, row 2, verbosity, image, verbosity, row 3, speech, image, speech.
Okay, speech, that's obviously pretty important. Let's see what we have in here.
Voices, selected tab 1 of 2.
Okay, this one has two tabs also, two different tabs as a part of speech. Voices, is the first one. This mainly just allows you to change what voice is used. But I'll show you what's here.
Pronunciation, tab 2 of 2.
And pronunciation, that's the other one where you can set... it does have a pronunciation dictionary that you can add things. I've never done that myself, but it is available to you.
Voices. Rate.
Okay, voices, then you can set the rate.
Pitch.
The pitch.
Volume.
And volume.
Default voice. Alex, default voice, pop-up button.
And Alex is the default voice, and that's what I leave it set at.
40, rate, edit text. Rate 40, adjuster. 45, pitch, edit text. Pitch 45, adjuster. 100, volume, edit, volume 100, adjuster.
And those are pretty self-explanatory.
Content. Default voice, content, pop-up button.
Now, what this is you can set different voices to read different things if you want to do that. Content is what this is. That, I would assume, is actually reading text and that type of thing. Some people may want to have a different voice read different things, and you can certainly do that. I've got all mine set to use the default voice.
40, rate, dim text. Rate 40, dimmed adjuster.
And those are dimmed because I've got them set to use the default voice. So those are dimmed because they will assume whatever attributes the default voice is set to.
45, pitch 45, dimmed adjuster.
So I'm just going to move through these pretty quick.
100, volume 100, status. Default voice, status, pop-up button.
Okay, so that would set what voice is used for speaking the status of things.
40, rate, dim, rate 40, dim, 45, pitch 100, volume 100, type. Default voice, type, pop-up button.
Okay, type, that's when you're typing, I would assume.
40, rate 40, dimmed adjuster, 40, pitch, 100, volume, attributes. Default voice, attributes, pop-up button.
Okay, so that's when speaking attributes, like bold, underlined, you can set what voice speaks that information. So you do have quite a bit of customization as far as the voices go.
40, rate 40, pitch, 1, volume. Voiceover menu.
Okay, voiceover menu.
Default voice. Voiceover menu. Pop-up button.
So you can set that also.
Four. Rate. Four. Pitch. One. Volume. Help button.
So that's all what's in the in that tab. I'll briefly show you what's in the pronunciation tab.
Utility category. Voices. Pronunciation. Tab 2 of 2. Pronunciation. Selected tab 2 of 2. Add button. Delete. Dimmed button. Help button.
It's pretty simple. You could add a pronunciation there if you wanted to. And there's nothing to delete because I don't have any pronunciation words defined here. So anyway, that's what's in the speech category. Let's go on to the next one.
Add button. Help. Utility cap. Row 4. Navigation. Image. Navigation.
Okay. This has some very useful options to it. Navigation. Let's see what we've got in here.
Keyboard focus item, initial position of voiceover cursor, pop-up button.
Okay, actually.
Utility cap.
I was tabbing there. Let me use the voiceover cursor to read this in case there's any extra text.
Initial position of voiceover cursor, keyboard focus item, initial position of voiceover cursor, pop-up button.
Okay, let me explain this a little bit for you. When a new window opens, you can set the voiceover cursor, which is your navigation cursor, to do one of two things. To start out wherever the keyboard is focused, which is where I have mine set, or to simply go to the top of the window, regardless of what the keyboard focus does. Usually, you would probably want it to start where the keyboard focus is, because that's your item of relevancy at that moment. So if you want to get some context, to see what else is around that control, that's where you would want to start. But you do have the choice of having the voiceover cursor start at the top of the active window also when a new window opens. Okay, let's keep going.
Keyboard focus follows voiceover cursor, checkbox.
Okay, that's a nice feature. That is something, as far as I know, I don't think any Windows screen reader can do this. What that is, again, for those of you that are familiar with Windows screen readers, when you use your mouse cursor, your JAWS cursor, or the mouse pointer to read, whatever it might be, you'll notice that usually, you can read around the screen and you can click on things, but if you just read and pass over controls and that type of thing, and then you decide you want to actually do something with that, you can click on it, but your keyboard focus, unless you actually do click on something, your keyboard focus is still right where you leave it. So if there's something you wanted to get to, you'd have to tab around usually to get to it. Well, with VoiceOver, if you have this enabled, as you read around with the VoiceOver cursor, your keyboard focus also follows. That's the focus that you use, like when you tab and you shift tab and you use the regular arrow keys without the control and option and that type of thing. Like now, if you'll remember before, the last thing I did with using tab and shift tab was moving down to the next category, down to the navigation category in that table. With that disabled, that's where the keyboard focus would still be, even though we moved the VoiceOver cursor, you know, through these different controls. But if I press Control Option F4, which is the VoiceOver command to speak what's in the keyboard focus.
Keyboard focus follows VoiceOver cursor. Checkbox has keyboard focus.
The keyboard focus stays right with the VoiceOver cursor. And that's great, too, because like on a web page, when you're navigating that, you know, as you get to the edit boxes and that type of thing, there's no forms mode or anything to go into. You're just, you know, you're right in the box, ready to type. So that's a very useful, nice feature. Okay, let's keep going.
The VoiceOver cursor follows keyboard focus. Checkbox.
That's kind of just the opposite. As you move with the tab key and the arrow keys, the VoiceOver cursor, if with that checked, it'll stay right with you. So, you know, if you need to read something that's in the vicinity of the control you're tabbing to, you can certainly do that.
Mouse cursor follows VoiceOver cursor. Checkbox.
Okay, the mouse cursor. That's, of course, the mouse pointer. And you can set that to, you know, follow the VoiceOver cursor, which is good because sometimes, usually to activate something with VoiceOver, you can press Control Option Spacebar. And that actually does not do an actual mouse click. What that does is it just basically it causes whatever control the VoiceOver cursor is sitting on, it causes that to activate and to do whatever it would normally do by default. Well, there are some programs that for whatever reason don't respond to that, and that doesn't work. So then you have to actually do a left mouse, or actually the Mac doesn't have left and right mouse buttons. It's just got one mouse button. But in situations like that, fortunately it's rare, but you do actually have to do a mouse click. And VoiceOver has a command to do that. But, you know, this way your mouse cursor also is following along with your VoiceOver cursor. So that's usually something you'll just want to leave checked.
VoiceOver cursor follows mouse cursor. Checkbox.
Okay, VoiceOver cursor follows mouse cursor. That is mainly if you can see enough to use a mouse. As you move the mouse around the screen with the real mouse, the VoiceOver cursor will also follow. So you can, again, use the VoiceOver cursor right where your mouse is at.
Insertion point follows VoiceOver cursor. Checkbox.
Okay, insertion point. That's if you're in a word processor, usually, or actually any kind of edit box where you're typing text. With these two items, there's two. VoiceOver cursor follows insertion point. Insertion point follows VoiceOver cursor. Basically, it keeps your reading cursor synchronized with the insertion point, which is where, you know, your text is going to go when you're typing in an edit field.
VoiceOver cursor follows insertion point. Checkbox.
Okay, and that's the other item I was mentioning.
Allow cursor wrapping. Unchecked. Checkbox.
Okay, allow cursor wrapping. What this does, I don't have mine checked, but when you're reading with the VoiceOver cursor and you get to the bottom of a window, with this checked, it will just go back to the top. It'll wrap around and start back at the top again and start reading down through the items. I don't have that checked because I like to know when I get to the bottom of something. That way I'm not wasting time going through objects I may have already been through, and I can always tell. So I don't have that checked, but it's there if you want to use that.
Help button.
Okay, we're down to the help, so that's the end of that category. Let's go down to the next one.
Allow cursory web help utility categories. Row 5. Web image. Web.
Web. Okay, this is a fun one. Okay, let's see what we've got here.
When navigating web content use.
Okay, when navigating web content use.
DOM navigation. Selected radio button 1 of 2.
You got DOM navigation or?
Group navigation. Radio button 2 of 2.
Okay, let me explain this for you. This controls mainly how HTML content is navigated. DOM, it stands for a document object model. And that navigates the page an element at a time. For those of you that are familiar with navigating pages using a Windows screen reader, that resembles that the most. Although it doesn't navigate really by line, it goes by element. Usually a link is an element, a paragraph is an element, but it does it in element order, basically, is how it does it. So if you're used to using a Windows screen reader and you use a Mac, that's probably the one you're going to want to use, at least initially, because it's the most like that. Group navigation basically divides the page up into different groups of information. It might be a set of links. It might be, a heading. It might be, it's hard to say based on each page. But the advantage to that is it allows you to get through a page faster and skip over stuff you may not be interested in. And then if there is a group that contains information you are interested in, you interact with it. So that's the navigation. I prefer the DOM navigation myself, but again, there's no right or wrong answer for that. Feel free to try each one and use the one that works best for you.
Navigate images, checked checkbox.
Okay, navigate images. Generally, you'll want to leave that checked because sometimes, links are images. So generally, you'll want to keep that checked.
Only navigate images with a description, unchecked checkbox.
Only navigate images with a description. You'll generally not want to check that because, unfortunately, some pages, the images are links, and if they're not labeled, you'll miss them. So generally, you probably won't want to have that checked, or you could miss something on a page.
Move VoiceOver cursor to a newly loaded web page. Check checkbox.
Okay, move VoiceOver cursor to a newly loaded web page. That's pretty self-explanatory, and you'll usually want to leave that option checked.
Help button.
Okay, that's the end of that category.
Move voice help but utility category.
All right, let's see what else we've got here.
Row 6. Sound image sound.
Okay, sound, what that is you can have sound effects, like when you get to the bottom of a window, or as you navigate, you can have sound effects. Again, that's a personal preference. I prefer not to have that, but some people may like that, and that's certainly available to you if you want to use that.
Row 7, visuals, image, visuals.
Okay. What this is doesn't really affect how a blind person uses the VoiceOver, but I'll show you the options here.
VoiceOver cursor, selected tab 1 of 4. Caption panel, tab, braille panel, tab, menu, tab 4 of 4. Show VoiceOver cursor, unchecked checkbox.
And I won't show you everything in here because, again, it's mainly visual stuff. Basically, you can have the VoiceOver cursor displayed visually on the screen. You can
VoiceOver cursor magnification.
You can control the size of the VoiceOver cursor, that type of thing. That's really what's in this category. But as far as actually using the VoiceOver without sight, it doesn't really affect that too much. Oops, hit the wrong key there.
0% VoiceOver utility categories table row 8. Numpad image numpad.
Okay, numpad.
Row 8. Numpad.
This is a nice feature. What this allows you to do is enable the use of the numeric keypad, which is on most of the desktop keyboards for using VoiceOver functions. And you can actually, there is a default layout that comes with it, but you can change it. But the default one works pretty good. The number 6 key is right. The numpad 4 is left. Numpad 8 is up, 2 is down. 5 by default is click the mouse. I changed that to just the one that activates, again, does the default option for an item. Let's see, numpad 1 goes to the bottom of the window, numpad 7 goes to the top, so it's a pretty standard layout. And you can actually define each key to do whatever you wish. So you do have that available if you wish.
Help, but utility row 9, Braille, image, Braille.
And then Braille, that's for if you're using a Braille display. You can set the Braille translation table and you know, some other options which relate to that, which I don't use a Braille display, so I won't be able to explain those options too much, but suffice it to say that it does work, and from what I've been told, it works well. So that's the customization that you can do in VoiceOver as far as the options go. So let's go ahead and press Command-Q and close the control panel.
Finder, Macintosh HD selected.
Okay, and we're back to the desktop with the Macintosh hard drive. Okay, let me kind of go into more detail here with you about what this whole thing is with interacting with items, because this, especially for somebody coming from a window screener, this is what confuses people quite a bit. But really, it's pretty simple. Let me kind of give you an analogy that might help you to better understand how that works. Usually, with a window screener, if you're navigating the screen with your mouse cursor, you see everything on the screen. You see the menu bar at the top, and then if you move down, you've got any toolbar buttons that might there. That's where you might hear the graphic, whatever the case may be. And then you you have all the text that might be in your window, and then you've got the status line at the bottom, that type of thing. You basically see the whole thing in the window. Well, the way VoiceOver works is it presents the elements of a window to you starting out with each window. And that allows you to get through the elements, you know, fairly quickly. And then if there's a certain element you want to focus in on, that's what's called interacting with it. A good example of this would be a toolbar. And that's what I'm going to show you for this demonstration. So to do that, sitting on the desktop, let's just open the Macintosh hard drive. I'm sitting on that, so I'll just press Command-O to open it.
Open. Window. Macintosh HD. Table.
Okay. Now, our keyboard focus is sitting on the table of, you know, of items that are on the hard drive, the applications folder and that type of thing, which you know, I've shown you that on previous podcasts. Well, with the VoiceOver cursor, let's go to the top of the window here. I'm going to press Control-Option-Home.
Toolbar.
Okay, toolbar. That's what it says there. So if I just press the right arrow to move to the next item here.
Sidebar list.
It says sidebar list. See, it doesn't show you all the items in the toolbar directly. Now, if we want to see the options in that toolbar, that's where we would interact with it. And then our reading works within the boundaries of that toolbar. So let me move back to the toolbar here.
Toolbar.
Here we go. Now let's interact with that. We press Control Option Shift down arrow.
Interact with toolbar. 9 items. Back dimmed button.
Okay. Now we are interacting with the toolbar. So our reading, as we go left and right here with the VoiceOver cursor, is within that toolbar. So let's just move to the right here.
Forward dimmed button. Icon view switcher, radio button. List view switcher, selected radio button. Column view switcher, radio button. Cover flow view switcher, radio button. Quick look button, action menu button. Search text field, blank. Search text field, blank.
Okay, and that's the end of the toolbar. So that's the toolbar, and you'll notice it doesn't read any farther now, because we're basically interacting or zoomed in on the toolbar. So to get out of that, once we've viewed it or seen what we wanted, we press Control Option Shift up arrow.
Stop interacting with toolbar.
And now we're no longer interacting with the toolbar. So, and you may go end up going several levels deep into something, depending on like, well, let me show you. You'll notice it said a minute ago, sidebar list. And what this is a, it's like a list of all the drives on the computer. So let's move to the right. We're no longer interacting with the toolbar. So now we can move through the window. So let's press the right arrow key.
Sidebar list.
Okay. Let's interact with that now, because if we just press the right arrow key again here.
Vertical splitter.
It says vertical splitter. So to actually
table.
See, and then we're in the table of all the files and folders. So to actually see what's in that sidebar list, let's move back to it.
Vertical sidebar list.
And let's interact with that.
Interact with sidebar list, Macintosh HD, selected volume.
And now we can see what's actually in that list.
iDisk. Places, expanded disclosure triangle. Desktop, selected folder. Mike Arrigo, applications, selected folder. Finder, ready. Applications, selected folder.
Okay, so that's kind of what's there. So we can stop interacting with that.
Stop interacting with sidebar list.
So hopefully that kind of helps you get an idea of what interacting actually is and how it works. It's really not that different. You're just zooming in or focusing on a certain item, basically, is how that works. Okay, let's close the hard drive here with Command-W.
Macintosh HD selected. Macintosh HD selected.
Okay, let me make sure I don't have anything else open here. Let me just bring up the VoiceOver application menu, or application list.
Finder. One, running application. Application Finder, Finder menu, two items. Go to desktop, ship closing,
okay.
Finder menu.
Okay, now let me show you a nifty thing that I found with reading email that's really nifty. So to do that, we need to get into the mail application. To do that, I could go into the applications folder, but I think I'll just do it from the dock. The dock, again, it's similar to the Windows taskbar, except you can also put icons down there permanently for commonly used applications. And I think I kind of demonstrated that in the second podcast. So there's a built-in Mac keyboard command we can use, aside from a voiceover, to get down to the dock. It's a Control F3.
Finder running.
It says Finder running, because that application is always running. Okay, let's just move to the right to get to the mail application.
Dashboard. Mail.
Okay, there we go. Let's press Enter.
Finder. Macintosh HD. Select Mail. Window. Inbox. Messages. Table. Has keyboard focus.
Okay. Now, to show you what I want to show you here, I need to get all my mail. So I'm going to press Command-Shift-N, which is get new mail, and it'll go ahead and download that.
Get all new mail.
And this will just take a minute.
21 rows added.
Okay, I think it's done. So what we want to do here, again, the message list is presented in a table. Now, normally what this would do is read you quite a bit of stuff about each message, and it can take you quite a bit to get through your mail if you've got several messages. Let's use the voiceover cursor to get to the message table.
Horizontal messages table.
Okay. Let's interact with that table.
Interact with messages table on row 1. Status unread.
Okay, we're on row 1, so that's good. Okay, let's stop interacting with that for the moment.
Stop interacting, row 2.
Now, let me show you what it reads normally. Now I'm using just the regular arrow keys, not the voiceover cursor, but the keyboard focus. So if we go back up to row 1.
Row 1. Status. Unread. Image. From. Sales at. MaxiAids.com. Subject. Your MaxiAids shipping confirmation. Date received. Today 5:40 p.m.
Oh, there we go. Nice. Looks like I bought something from MaxiAids. A new cane, actually. And looks like that has probably shipped, so that's a good thing. But as you can see, that's quite a bit of verbiage. Well,
what we can do is we can set VoiceOver to only focus on one of the columns, and then as we move the keyboard focus up and down, it just reads that one item. Usually, when you're looking at your messages to see if a message is worth reading, the column you're probably going to be most interested in is the subject. And then if the subject interests you, then you can read it. And if not, then you can just skip it. Well, to do that, what we can do is, with the VoiceOver cursor on the table...
Mail messages table.
Okay, let's interact with that again.
Interact with messages table.
Okay, now we can move the VoiceOver cursor through the different columns, and VoiceOver will only focus on that column. Of course, we could change back any time to reading the entire thing again by, you know, telling it to stop interacting with the table. But for now, let's just move the VoiceOver cursor to the subject column.
From subject, your MaxiAids shipping confirmation.
Okay, now, if I just use the regular arrow keys, not with control and option, but just moving the keyboard focus down through the messages, watch the difference.
Friends, 80s night on the weekend retro dance party. Regarding, talks installing TAL, tech regarding, M player, text, open data definition, odd, text regarding, talks the N82, which color, text, more info on odd files, text.
It just reads us the subjects. So if we're, you know, interested in a subject, we could read the message. And then if we want to know maybe who sent one of the messages, we could just use a VoiceOver cursor command here now and move it one column to the left.
From Janet and Felix Star.
Okay, so that's a way you can really get through your mail pretty quick. By doing it that way, you don't have to hear all the other... you know, columns and that type of thing, if you're not interested. And, of course, if you decide you want to go back to hearing that again, you simply press Control-Option-Shift-Up-Arrow to stop interacting with this table.
Stop interacting with messages table.
And then if we arrow down, again, the regular arrow key with the keyboard focus.
Row 8. Status. Unread. Image. From. Jude-Eel. Subject. Mac VoiceOver. Regarding. Listening to streaming audio on the Mac. Date received. Today.
Okay, and then it reads us everything again. So that's kind of a nice thing. Allows you to get through email pretty quick.
Okay, let's go ahead and exit out of the mail program. I'll have to come back in here later and go through these messages. But for now...
Quit Finder.
There is a couple other things I want to show you. On the Internet, actually. So let's go open up Safari, because there's a couple... powerful features that I want to show you. And one person wanted to know about doing a search on eBay. So I will show you that as well. And that will allow me to demonstrate these other options that I wanted to show you. The main thing is the item chooser. The item chooser on the web is very, very powerful. It's a very powerful VoiceOver command. Okay. So let's go ahead and open up Safari, the web browser. And to do that, again, we'll go back down to the dock with Control F3.
Safari.
And Safari is the next item over from Mail, which is where we were before, so we'll just press Enter on it.
Finder, Safari, Window, Untitled, HTML Content.
Now, usually you do press Command-O to open something, but in this one case on the dock, you press Enter to open one of those icons, in case any of you were wondering about that. Okay. Now, let's go ahead and open up eBay, and I'll go ahead and do a search. I'm trying to think what we could search for here. Why don't we do... Mac Mini, since that's the kind of Mac I've got. Let's do a search for Mac Mini. So I'm going to press Command-L to open a location.
Page address. Edit.
And we're just going to type ebay.com. Okay, if you're wondering why the speech was funny there, it's because it was trying to complete my entry with what I was typing there. So that's why it was speaking a little odd. Okay, I've got ebay.com typed in, I think. Let's verify that.
ebay.com/
We've got the slash at the end there. Okay, let's press enter.
HTML content. Edit text. Edit text blank.
Okay, now I'm already in the box to search for something, I believe. Let's verify that.
Welcome. Visited link. From collectibles to cars. Buy and sell all kinds of items on eBay.
I guess that wasn't. Okay. It may have moved to there briefly, but... okay, so we could read through this easy enough.
Welcome. Link. Sign in. Or. Link. Register. Period. Link. Live help. Vertical line. Link. Site map.
Okay. Well, what we want to do here is get to the search field. So to do that, I'm not sure why Apple set this command for this. The command to go to the next form field or control is Control-Option-Command-J. I'm not sure what the J means there. Usually you'd use like F for form or C for control or something like that, but that's what it is. So once you memorize it, I guess it's no big thing. But so we'll press that, Control-Option-Command-J, and it's pretty easy to press those three keys together, actually, because they're all in a row. So I'm just going to press that now.
Edit text blank.
Okay, and it says edit text, and we should be in the field ready to type. So, and again, there's no, with this, there is no, you know, turning off and on of a browse mode or a virtual cursor or a forms mode or any of that stuff. So let's just type in Mac Mini. Let's see.
All category. Edit text blank.
Okay, I wanted to make sure I was in the box there, which I am. Okay.
M-A-C space M-I-N-I.
Okay, Mac Mini. Let's see if we got that right.
Mac Mini.
Okay, there we go. So let's press Control-Option right arrow here and move the voiceover cursor to the next item.
All categories. Pop-up button.
We'll leave that go for now, because I want to show you something in the next on the next page that's kind of nifty. Okay, let's keep going.
Search button.
That's what we want, so we'll select that.
Press search button. Visited link from collectibles to cars. Buy and sell all kinds of items on eBay.
Okay. Now, we've got the search results. Now, what I want to do, though, is I want to narrow it down. I don't want to see everything. I just want to see the computer category. And there's a few ways we can do that. We could do Control Option F and search for the word, you know, narrow for narrow your results. But let me show you something else. And this is a great feature to use on the web. The item chooser. What this does is, you know, people talk about with Windows screen readers, you know, can you list the links or can you list the headings, and can you list the radio buttons and that type of thing? Well, what this does is this puts up a list of every item on the page. Now, what VoiceOver considers an item, again, is all the links are considered, each link is considered an item, each heading is considered an item, each, you know, radio button is considered an item. But here's the thing. In this item chooser list, you can type a certain part of what you're looking for, and it doesn't have to be the first letters of it. It can be any part of it, and if it's in that item, it will list it. So really, with this, you can use the item chooser to get a list of all the links on a page, all the headings on a page, really anything you want. The only really interesting thing about that is if the word link or the word heading shows up in one of the paragraphs of the page or something like that, that will be included, but that's generally pretty rare, so it'll certainly get you very, very close to that. Okay, so I want to get the VoiceOver cursor down to the item that says, you know, narrow your results. So to do that, let's bring up the item chooser menu for this page. To do that, we do a Control-Option-I.
Building item chooser menu. Item chooser menu, 786 items, Safari.
Okay, so there's 786 items on this page. Okay, so I'm going to start typing in the word narrow here.
Six, one item. Narrow your results.
That's exactly what we want. So, and what it does, it's got like a menu, but as you type, it narrows the menu down. So, you press enter, and it should move the voiceover cursor right to that item.
Link, narrow your results.
Great, excellent. Okay, now let's keep going with the voiceover cursor to the next item.
Link, computers and networking, 662.
Okay, let's keep going.
Visited link, Apple computers and components.
Okay. I was kind of checking on this the other day, actually, for some Mac stuff, which is why it says the link's visited. But that's the link we want here. So let's go ahead and select that.
Press Apple. Visited link, from collectibles to cars. Buy and sell all kinds of items on eBay.
All right. Now, for this, again, we could navigate through this page, you know, using the voiceover cursor, you know, in the usual way, but I'm going to show you another nifty feature here.
Besides the item chooser, there is also a links list that puts up all the links on a page. And again, the difference is with a Windows screen reader, usually you start spelling out, you know, what you want, but it has to be usually the first part of it, of the link itself. And then it just moves your, it just moves you to that item, but all of the links are still listed there. You know, well, what if we wanted to see all the links just matching certain criteria? You know, rather than just moving to a link, we want to only see the links that match certain criteria. Well, we can do that with the item chooser, actually, or the links list. Of course, the links list only does links on a page. The item chooser does everything. And actually, I'll do the item chooser again, so you can kind of see how that works. But the links chooser is the same way. The item chooser, you bring that up with Control Option I, and that shows you everything. And the links list is Control Option U. So let's go ahead and do a Control Option I again for this page.
Building item chooser menu. Item chooser menu, 796 items, Safari ready.
Okay, now I only want to see the links here since I did a search. I only want to see the links that start, or that have, even, it doesn't have to start with, that has Mac Mini in the link, or in that item, I should say, because we're in the item chooser menu. So if I type Mac space Mini, it should do it. Let's see.
302162 items. Link, Apple MacBook, MB403 Air.
Oops, I made a typo there. Let me hit the backspace key.
796 items,
okay,
14.
Let's try that again.
302160 50 50 50 50 items, Mac Mini.
Okay, so what I did there, you'll notice it kept saying numbers. As I typed more of it, it narrowed it down. So now, 50 items, there are 50 items on this page that have the words Mac Mini in that item someplace. It might be the beginning, it might be in the middle, it might be in the end. That's the difference, and it's really a nice feature compared to the Windows screen readers. The Windows ones will only take you to, you know, items or links if they start with that. This will find it regardless of where it's at. So now, let's just arrow down through these.
Mac Mini. Link. Mac Mini 1.25 GHz 512 MB 40 GB HD extras. Link, Mac Mini 1.25 GHz 512 MB 40 GB HD extras. Link, Mac Mini 1.42. Link, Mac Mini 1.5 GHz Core Solo 2 MB upgrade, nice. Visited link, Mac Mini 2.0 GHz 1 GB RAM 120 GB HD NRMO reserve. Link, Mac Mini G4 1.42 GHz 5, link. Mac Mini G4 512 RAM DDR 400 MHz.
Okay, so let's say we wanted to look at that. Well, if we press enter.
Link, Mac Mini G4 512 RAM DDR 4.
Okay, it moves the voiceover cursor to that item. It doesn't activate a link, whether you use the links list or the actual item chooser, because that way you can get some context as to you know, what's right around there to see if you really want to go there or not. So let's just move left and right here.
Link, Mac Mini, link, Mac Mini G4 512 RAM DDR4000 MHz.
Okay, that's what we want, so we'll go ahead and take a look at that item just for fun. Go ahead and select it.
Press HTML. Visited link, from collectibles to cars, buy and sell all kinds of items on eBay.
Okay. Now, usually when you pull up an item, of course, it's always a good idea to check the seller's feedback if you're going to, you know, think about bidding anything. But another thing, of course, that's very important to you is, would be very important, is the description. So there's a couple ways we could get to that, but again, I'll get to it with the item chooser. You could use Control-Shift-F and find it. Also, that's the voiceover find command. But let's do Control-Option-I here again to bring up the item chooser menu.
Building item chooser menu. Item chooser menu, 288 items.
Okay, let's just type in DESC. That should certainly get us close enough.
It's 842 items. Description. Read item description for any reference to return policy.
Okay, it's the first item we want. It just says description.
Description.
So we press enter.
Description.
And?
Description.
Our voiceover cursor is right on that word description, and we're ready to read. So if we can just move to the right here.
Item specifics. Item condition. Condition. Heading level 2. Used. Component type. Heading level 2, memory. Memory capacity. Heading level 2, 512 megabytes. Product type. Heading level 2, DDR. Brand. Heading level 2, Apple. Image. 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 This is a 512 RAM card removed from a working Apple Mac Mini. Work fine and is in perfect condition. Bid with confidence and check my ratings. Shipped in double wrapped case and box USPS. Not exactly as shown, as I don't have a good picture of it. This is a stock photo.
Okay. Now you notice there it said there were a lot of headings on this page. Well, what if we wanted to list all the headings on this page? Of course, a lot of the Windows screeners can do that. Again, let's go back to the item chooser menu with Control Option I.
Building item chooser menu. Item chooser menu, 280.
Okay. If we just type in the word heading, because it puts the word heading in each one, so if we just type in that, H-E-A-D-I-N-G.
11, 7 items, heading level 1.
There are seven, most likely seven headings on this page then, unless, you know, one of the words has a heading in it, or one of the paragraphs, but let's just arrow down here.
Heading level 2, 512 megabytes. Heading level 2, Apple. Heading level 2, DDR. Heading level 1. Mac Mini G4 512 RAM DDR400 MHz. Heading level 2, memory.
Okay. Or if we wanted to maybe get a list of all the edit boxes on a page, let's go ahead and hit the backspace key to display the full list of items again.
288 items. Percent positive.
Now what if we type in the word edit here? Let's see.
235 items. Edit text blank. Edit text blank. Edit text blank.
Now, that's a little hard to tell what each one is, but suffice it to say that it gave us a list of all the edit, you know, boxes on the page. So even though there are no specific voiceover commands to list, you know, all the headings or all the radio buttons and or that type of thing, you could use the item chooser menu to do it and just search for that specific item. And it works really well. So if we wanted to, let me just hit escape to get out of the item chooser in this case.
Closing item chooser menu.
Now if we
markings on the card are,
we're still in the description. Again, if we wanted to put a bid on this, we could press Control Option Command J and that should
500 and marking image.
Let's see, did I hit the right thing?
Image. Image. 24. Link. The U.S. I've correct shipping and handling. United States. Pop-up button.
Yeah, okay, that's okay. I hit the wrong key at first. That's to go to the next control. That's for the country setting, but we could move down and put a bid in for that. and it would work quite well. So, sure, eBay works very well, and that item chooser menu is really good too. So that's really what I wanted to show you on this podcast. I'm trying to think if I covered everything that I wanted to. Let's see. I was able to show you booting from the DVD and the voiceover control panel, reading mail messages a little bit faster, and the item chooser menu, and had a request for something on eBay to show that. One person did send me an email message asking if there was anything I didn't like about VoiceOver. Well, the one thing I hope that they do add at some point maybe is the ability to label buttons. Sometimes in some applications, some of the buttons aren't labeled. Of course, the real fix for that is for people to label their buttons properly in the application. Hopefully, that's something that Apple may add in the future. But as time goes on, I think more and more applications will hopefully become accessible, or more accessible with VoiceOver. There's quite a few now that are. I mean, of course, it's not perfect, but nothing is. Another common misconception, and people want to criticize VoiceOver for this, is to say, well, VoiceOver doesn't have a scripting language. Well, there's a couple things I want to say on that. First off, remember that VoiceOver is integral to the operating system, so the operating system itself has scripting. So essentially, you could do some scripting with the VoiceOver commands by using like Apple Script or Apple Automator, things built into the operating system. The other thing, though, that, and I'm kind of seeing a trend toward this on the PC side of things, and I don't necessarily agree with it. I think scripts are good and configurations are good, certainly, because some applications just aren't accessible, and that's unfortunate. But there seems to be this thing that people are starting to become too reliant on them. There's always, are there scripts for this application? Are there scripts for that application? And it's like, okay, some people think an application is inaccessible or doesn't work well if they have to use any kind of navigation. If the screen reader doesn't automatically just tell them right off the bat, automatically say the important stuff, then they say, well, the application isn't accessible and it needs scripts. And that's not true. Not true at all. Sighted people don't automatically know, always what to look for. They have to look at the screen and browse a web page. So really, we should be doing the same thing. I'm all for improving the access to applications, but really that should be happening at the application level. But sometimes some of these scripts get so, developed that they start adding all kinds of keystrokes that pretty soon you don't know anymore what's the script with the screen reader and what's actually built into the application. And I'm really not a fan of that. I think that the best way to use an app, a computer and an application successfully is to learn your screen reader and learn what the application provides, not have just a script that automates everything for you. And with VoiceOver, you do a bit of navigation, but you really do learn a lot about how the applications work. But the good thing is, once you learn the set of keystrokes for navigating and the VoiceOver commands, it applies to everything. Now, certainly, there are some commands you'll use more than others in different applications, but the keys are all the same. And once you learn them, they're always available to you to use, as you see fit. So that's kind of my take on the whole scripting thing. But, certainly it's a great screen reader. It works great with the Macintosh, and I have absolutely no regrets about getting a Mac whatsoever. And hopefully this third podcast has also reinforced, your like for the Mac. Again, everything I've shown you on this is all built in to the Macs. There's nothing that was extra nothing that was purchased extra. This is all part of the Mac OS, the web browser, the, booting off the DVD and having the speech. It's all part of the Mac. It's all there. So, hope everybody's enjoyed this. I certainly enjoyed
doing this for you, and certainly keep those emails coming. Again, much appreciated. I've gotten a lot of feedback from people saying how much they've liked these, and that makes it all well worth it to me. And keep those emails coming. Would love to know what you think of this one. If there's some other stuff you'd like me to cover on a fourth one, let me know. Maybe on the next podcast, I'll cover some copying files and that type of thing. We can get into that maybe if anybody's interested. If you want to send me an email, by all means, would love to hear from you. My email address is my ham radio call sign. It's N0OXY. That's N as in November, the number 0, O as in Oscar, X as in X-ray, Y as in Yankee, at Charter, C-H-A-R-T-E-R, .net. And if you'd like to drop me a line, would love to hear from you. So, that having been said, I'll go ahead and conclude this podcast. Again, hope everyone enjoyed it. And keep those emails coming. Take care.